We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
Welcome to the newest episode of The Travel Agents. I'm Will.
And I'm Brian.
And we're your hosts for this episode. We're going to talk about Iceland today.
Brr!
Definitely a cold country, but a gorgeous country at that. And we're going to keep this brief, but we spent, 6 days in Iceland over October 2019. Right. Rented a car, traveled the country.
Traveled the southern rim, could say?
Yeah, the southern part of the country. Yeah, all across the southern part of the country.
I felt like we saw so much, even though it was just the southern part.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot to talk about on this episode. And before we get into it, the one thing that I want to notice or want to declare is that Icelandic language is very hard to pronounce. We're going to screw up some of these terms. And it's going to be hard for some people to follow. If that is you, you can check out our travel guide and you can follow along. You'll be able to see pictures. You'll be able to see visually what it is that we're talking about. So you'll have those visual cues.
The best part about Iceland, though, is the English level is so high. We didn't meet anyone who didn't speak perfect English.
Yeah, that's completely true.
So you don't have to learn the Icelandic language, although they appreciate it when you try, like most countries.
You'll pick up on a few. It's very easy to pick on a few words. But we're joined today by a dear friend of ours. His name's Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you, man. You were part of our trip.
I loved being part of the trip. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a group of six, rented a van, and just drove around Iceland. It was great. So in total, we did this trip for $1,355 per person for 7 days. Not bad for Iceland.
No, that was flights, round trip.
Yes.
Main cabin economy, which included one checked bag. I totally recommend bring your checked bags. You're going to have a lot of clothes to bring.
Yeah, that included our flight, our accommodations, Foss Hotel, where we stayed, Airbnb, where we stayed, our gas.
We split our rental car.
Yeah, our rental car, our Blue Lagoon ticket, our GPS and car insurance. And we had a trip to the Westman Islands. That total is in there as well. The only thing that's not included is how much we paid for food. And if I had to guess, I would say most meals were about $20 per person per meal. So what, times two, times seven? Not
between
that much.
$300 and $400 per person for food.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good.
And we had some souvenirs.
Yeah. So
not bad.
Let's get into defining words.
Here's three words to help you. Here's our defining words.
So in this segment with defining words, we like to choose one word that expresses the trip as best as possible. And without further ado, Brian, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, the first word I thought of was driving. So this was an important trip in my travel repertoire, as this was the 31st or 32nd country I had visited in my life. And prior to this, I'd never rented a car and tried driving in a foreign country.
Me either.
Always too scared and figured I could just take trains or pay someone to drive me around.
Yeah.
So getting a car, I was anxious.
Sure. Yeah.
What I quickly found about driving in Iceland was it was so easy.
It was so easy. It was easier than driving in the United States.
Easier than driving here in Akron, Ohio at times.
Yeah, 100%. Why is that?
So there's one road you really can't get too lost. It's Highway 1.
It's Route 1. Are there any other routes, Brian?
No, but there are F roads, which maybe we could talk about later.
Yeah, we can talk about those later.
Okay. But really, hardly anyone on the roads. You just kind of hop on Highway 1, make sure you're going the correct route, the correct direction. And the biggest issue is going to be roundabouts.
Yeah. If you've never been in a roundabout, it might be new to you, but they're really simple.
But I think they were two lane roundabouts, right? You have the interior lane if you're going more than just the first exit, and then hang on the
exterior.
If you're going to the next exit, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
I guess I was noticing with driving. Well, I have some tips for driving, but that might be better for tips. But I think it would be appropriate if I just launched them in here. As we were learning about driving, Will, we learned always have a full tank of gas because you don't want to run out of gas.
Some areas are real secluded from another.
Exactly. The driver must be awake. We had six, so that was nice. We could rotate.
Yeah.
And included in our car, we got four drivers covered by the insurance. And that's the next one. Just get rental car insurance, no matter what. It's like with all my clients, like, do I really need rental car insurance? I never use it. Well, yeah, you never use it until you need it, right? You can argue about not getting other types of insurance for things in life, but I think when it's a rental car, you just need it, so pay it. And then here's a pro tip. Make sure the cigarette lighter works before pulling off the lot. It's one of the best tips I ever heard in this gig was that if you can just, before you pull off the lot, plug in the GPS, plug in something, make sure it works before going. That way you can get a car that works.
That's amazing. And another word for Route 1 is the Ring Road. The Ring Road makes up the entire country of Iceland. It's really cool. Check it out. Rent a car. See the country. We're going to tell you why. And Ben, you had a word for us, didn't you?
National Geographic.
Okay, explain that. Yeah,
I felt all throughout Iceland like I was in a National Geographic magazine. The scenes, the views were amazing. I think of like one of our initial ones, Black Sand Beach. We sat there in awe thinking like, is it possible that we're in a place so beautiful? And that I felt that throughout our whole trip.
Yeah, a real gorgeous country. I think one of the things that I found really unique was that it could be simultaneously flat and then just huge mountains in the background. It was like, how does this work? You're almost like in a valley, it seems like.
Right.
But to your right or to your left, depending on where you're driving, is the beach. And it seems so surreal. So surreal. And that's if you're just driving on the south coast. We haven't even talked about some of the geothermal areas, which leads to my defining words, which is spa. If you're coming to Iceland and you're all about that spa culture, Iceland is your place to be. They have Finnish spas, so you can enjoy a Finnish-style spa. And we'll talk about some of the recommendations for that. But what Iceland is so well known for are their natural geothermal spas. And what happens when you go to Iceland is that it's not uncommon for you to go to an area that is a geothermal area. And there could be hot spas, hot springs, that you can dip your toes in, relax, get on the side of the road, and hang out in a geothermal spa. So cool. Yeah. Nothing like that in the United States that I know of.
Yeah, there are areas where you can just pull off the side of the road, and if you have a bathing suit handy, just hop in.
Yeah, just hop in. There could be hikes that are specifically known for their geothermal spas. Mm-hmm. So you can go on these awesome hikes, see all these awesome views, and then at the end, you're rewarded with an opportunity to be in hot water in an area with a country known as Iceland. That's just amazing. That's just amazing. It's just so cool. Highly recommend it. A lot of volcanic activity in the country. Real cool. Otherworldly. But that ends our defining words segment. And we're going to talk about some of the highs and some of the lows of our trip.
Sometimes things are good. Sometimes they're bad too. It's highs, lows coming to you.
Reindeer. We saw reindeer. We really did. This was probably one of the high points of my trip, right? So we're just driving. I want to say it was my turn because I spotted them and I just pulled the car over. I'm like, nope, we are totally going to check out these reindeer because we heard we might see them. And then boom, I got this video. I'll have to post it on a link.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe four or five reindeer who are just walking single file with a mountain behind them. And it's dusk, right? And it's a cool October night, but there's a fence they're coming up to. And it's like, oh no, are they going to get the fence? And then one by one, they jumped over the fence.
Yeah.
And it kind of put us to sleep.
And it was like in a farm area. So we thought, are they farm-raised reindeer? But they're not, are they?
No, they came from the mountains and they're vicious.
They are a vicious creature, apparently.
And we ate one of them.
We did. We went to the village of Hofen.
Right.
And that's going to probably lead into my high, but to kind of give you some backstory of how we saw these reindeer, we spent our second day in Iceland, we spent just hanging out in the southern part. We went to glacial lagoons, and we're going to talk about those glacial lagoons, but we went to these glacial lagoons and we got so cold. And by the end of the day, we were just thinking, I just want to be in warm water. Just want to be in warm water. So we had the idea of checking out these hot tubs, these geothermal hot tubs, on the way to the village of Hofen, which is the biggest village on the southeast of Iceland, like a population of 2,000 people, if that can describe Iceland for you. And on our way to these hot tubs, they're called the Hofel hot tubs, we found our reindeer. We saw our reindeer. And lo and behold, the hot tubs were closed. These man-made hot tubs that used water from geothermal spas were closed. And we were really frustrated. So we decided, Ben here actually found a swimming center in Hofen. And we were hungry too. So we thought, well, let's just go to the village of Hofen. We'll get dinner. We'll check out the swimming center. I'm sure they'll have hot tubs. It's not geothermal, but hey, it's warm water nonetheless. So we go, and we go to Hofen, and we had reindeer burgers. How were the reindeer burgers?
Well, we were all, everyone was too nervous to order it, so we ordered one to split for all six of us. We each had a sixth. It tasted like a hamburger. It was nice.
Yeah, it was like a lean hamburger. What do you think, Ben?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. So we had dinner, and we walked over to the next building, right? And it was a swimming center. And, you know, what was really interesting about this was this entire trip so far, we've been here for about 2 days, and we hadn't met an Icelander. We had met people from all over Europe who were here in Iceland seeking job opportunities. They're anywhere from 18 to 23 years old, just basically college kids doing some server work or, I don't know, blue collar work. And we hadn't met any Icelanders. So we thought, hey, if we go to the swimming center, maybe we'll actually see some Icelanders. And we did. And what was so cool about it was that all of these water activities were outside. The swimming pool, outside. Hot tubs, outside. Ice tub, outside. And you go out, it's 20 degrees outside, and it's windy. So it's probably actually like 5 degrees. And you go outside, and the first thing you see is the hot tubs, and you see the swimming pools. And I'm so cold, I can't think. I'm thinking, you know what? I just need to get to the hot tub. I go to the hot tub, plop down, and there's like 8 Icelanders. Mm-hmm. And we're like, all right, this is pretty cool. We get to finally meet some Icelanders. And what was so cool about it was we spent like the next hour and a half hanging out in this hot tub, getting out every now and then, talking to these Icelanders who had worked on movies, had worked on television shows, who had worked and documentaries, anything that had anything to do with media in the form of film, these Icelanders had some sort of involvement. And we actually got to talk to some people that owned some bread and breakfasts as well. And we got a good idea of some of the things that were available for work for some of these Icelanders. And it was really interesting. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, realizing that so many movies are filmed there because it's just so beautiful. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked to the stunt double for, or it's not stunt double, but one of the stuntmen for Netflix's The Midnight Sky, like a George Clooney film.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting because he couldn't tell us what the film was. He's just like, I'm working on a George Clooney film. And we're like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
That's so secret and so cool.
What I loved about this place was they had these, like Will was saying, they had these hot tubs. Yeah, you definitely are going to have to do a hot tub or a geothermal when you go to Iceland. That's just for sure. We'll talk about the Blue Lagoon in a minute. But one thing that was special about this place was they had a cold tub, which I think, Will, did you try it?
Yeah, I think we both went in at the same time.
Right? Oh, yeah, same time. So basically just like a little, I don't know, the size of a small table, a circular table, and it's got freezing cold water, and it's freezing outside, and you dip into it, and it's cold. Just absolutely chilling and numbing.
Yeah,
and then you hop out of it and sprint to the hot tub.
But that's the thing. That's what they do. These Scandinavian people, they enjoy that. Enjoy some cold weather and some cold water. And then they jump into some hot water. So we got to get a real cool Icelandic experience. But that gives us an opportunity to talk about Ben's high.
My high. I would say that my high was the fact that we got to overcome a frozen waterfall.
Yes, we did. And I know, Ben, I know you don't you probably don't remember the name of the word or the word of the waterfall, and I barely do, but I have it here and I'm going to give it my best go. And the name of this waterfall is called Selengela Foss.
Oh yeah, of course. Selengela Foss.
There you go.
What is it about Selengela Foss that makes it so cool? And what makes it your high?
Well, when we were driving to this, we were reading the reviews on what to expect at this waterfall. And people were saying, well, you want to go up on this side and then you'll go behind the falls and descend on this side. And we're thinking about strategically how to actually approach this waterfall.
Yeah.
And we get there and it was a little more icy than we were expecting. So
Yeah. So you can go behind this waterfall and see the waterfall from behind. That's what makes this so unique.
Exactly. But what made it even more unique for us was the wooden steps going up to the waterfall before you even go behind it were covered in ice.
Yeah. Right. Yes, they were. And we decided to go ahead and give it a go. Let's go ahead and get behind this waterfall and let's see it from behind. And it didn't work out very well, did it?
It was a high of my trip.
Then you kind of saved us. You saved our lives.
Yes.
It was a life or death situation, and you did. So that was part of the part of having you on the podcast is just to say thank you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
I receive your gratitude.
Oh. I want to back up a bit and talk about why it was so dangerous. It was so dangerous because this waterfall had made everything frozen. Everything. Every inch of ground behind that waterfall was covered in ice. And the only thing that we had to climb on were the plants, not even plants, tall grass to the left of it, each other, and some very tiny rocks that we used as footstools. And there was one instance where we had to climb like a 10-foot incline, and we were literally climbing on top of one another. I think if it wasn't for Ben's like upper body strength, we would still be there.
Right.
It was so crazy. And by the time we get to the end of it, and I guess so many people had been watching us being like, what are they doing? These idiots. We get to the end and there's this sign. It says, closed. Do not go behind the waterfall. We started at the exit and ended at the entrance.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So a little tip here. Don't go behind Selengela Foss if it's really cold and icy.
Unless you're a professional alpine mountain climber with spiked cleats.
Like we are.
Yeah. That's us. But there's no trip without a low, is there?
No.
And we do have one low, but it's more specific to, I guess, the weather of the country, right?
Sure.
And you could probably guess it with a name like Iceland. It's a little cold.
Sure.
It's a little cold there. And, you know, another thing on top of that cold is the wind. Mm-hmm. The wind there is really what's the big kicker.
Yeah, because, well, we're from Ohio. We're used to that. We came prepared for the cold.
Yeah.
We have our cold gear. Was not prepared for the wind whatsoever.
No, not at all. And we went during the month of October. And why that's so important is that that's really the only month that Iceland can experience anything that's kind of fall-like. You're not getting the warm weather of summer, which is a long-lasting season. It's about 5 months. And you're not getting the brutal, brutal cold of winter, which is, again, about 5 months. But what you're getting in October is an expectation for rain and temperatures from 32 to 45 degrees, which does not sound bad on paper. However, when you go to the southern part of Iceland, you are right next to the beach, the ocean, and mountains. And what happens with that is that you get these glacial winds that are coming off of this glacier. The glacier is known as Vatnajökull. It's the largest glacier in Europe. And these glacial winds hit you, and they hit you hard. We're talking hurricane force winds.
Yeah.
And it cuts through you.
It's pretty cool because you can kind of like lean into the wind and like stand at a 45 degree angle and it holds you up.
Yeah. That was a cool experience in its own. Yeah. Never seen anything like that. Just kind of just relax a little bit, get pushed up by the wind.
But sometimes you open your car door and you stick your foot out and then the car door slams on your leg and almost amputates it.
Yeah. And I mean, Ben, I know you don't do well in the cold. How'd you feel about it?
Well, one of our first hikes, I had not layered properly. Mm. And so on our way back down, I realized I needed to sprint back to the van in order to get my wet underlayers off so that I wouldn't die of hypothermia. And you guys were kind to let me run back.
Yeah.
It was, after that, you gave me Under Armour.
Did that help?
And oh, it helped tremendously. But I must also say, I knew going into it, I needed to have a jacket that was windproof and pants that were windproof. And I did have those. Mm-hmm. And that made a world of difference.
I've never thought to look for this. Is it on the tag or something? Like, this is windproof.
Yep.
What makes it windproof?
I don't know what makes it windproof, but the tag says so, and I believe it. And it was true. But even if something's windproof, that is far different, though, than layering.
Yeah.
Because if it's cold out, you're going to get hot. And so you have to make sure that you layer properly.
Sure, sure.
That was a big lesson for me, because I'm very sensitive to being cold. So I would encourage people considering Iceland to look up what you need to do to layer properly.
Yeah, I had a parka and I had some Under Armour and I had some insulated pants and I felt real good. I wasn't really too bothered by the wind as much as everyone else on the trip. So again, that's kind of like a tip. You really do need to prepare. Even if you go in the summer, there are some areas that still have that brutal wind and that brutal cold. If you're going to the south and you're going to the glacial lagoons, you're going to experience some cold. So bring a parka, bring some Under Armour, bring some insulated pants. You might be okay.
It was so windy, we saw a tipped truck off the side of the road.
Yes, we did. We did, yeah. We had this trip planned to almost the minute at times, and we had to cut one or two things off the itinerary because the wind was so strong that we couldn't go full speed in the car because the wind was pushing against us and preventing us from getting to where we needed to go.
We were driving a Mercedes van.
Yeah.
Seven seater? Nine?
I think it was a nine seater.
And when the wind was so bad, it lit up on the dashboard and said, like, wind assist on. It's like, is that a thing? All right, Mercedes, thank you.
When we knew that they were having wind advisories in Iceland, which is a pretty windy place. So if they're having an advisory, it's really windy.
Yeah. If you're worried about the cold and you're worried about the weather, there is a really cool website that I recommend. It's called Vedur, V-E-D-U-R. And it is a weather forecast for the entire country of Iceland. And we're going to have that included in our travel guide. So if you don't know what that is or you forget, it's going to be there for you. I highly recommend checking it out.
And I just want to say, I'm probably one of the coldest people you will know, and I did great. As soon as I learned how to layer properly, since I had the windproof clothing, I was fine. So if you're a person that's really, really cold all the time and you're worried about going to Iceland, no, just learn how to dress well and you'll be fine.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you have those geothermal pools to warm you up if you do get cold. But that leads us to our next segment, our tips.
From the travel agents.
We have a lot of tips for Iceland, a lot of things to talk about, a lot of food recommendations, and a lot of activity recommendations. But before we get into that, one of the things that we wanted to talk about was how we orchestrated this trip. We landed in Keflavik, and when you land in Keflavik, that is the major international airport for Iceland. And there's not much to see in Keflavik, but before you head on to Reykjavik, which is the capital of Iceland and what most people go to, you probably are going to want to get a rental car. Right. And you know what I found with getting a rental car is that it gave us so much freedom to see the country at our own pace and see things the way we wanted to see it. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And the one thing that we recommend is you rent a car. And on your way from Keflavik to Reykjavik, you're probably going to see some sights. You're going to probably see some things that you're going to want to stop and see. But I recommend you keep going, get to Reykjavik, or if you're going like us all the way to the south of Iceland, you might want to have some places in mind for what you want to stop by and see.
Because I think it was a 4-hour drive from the airport to where we went first.
Yeah, it was a 4.5-hour drive to our hotel. And our hotel was called Foss Hotel Glacier Lagoon. And we recommend it. It was really cool.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really liked was that it had heated tile in the bathroom. So I almost want to just like lay down after a long, cold day, just get warmed up.
Sure.
And they had a really cool restaurant in there too that we recommended, that we recommend. The thing about it was it's probably the most expensive place we had a meal at.
I want to say it was about $65 for my dinner, and I got I got an entree, a glass of wine, and an appetizer. Plus tip on top of that.
Yeah, for my wife and I, it was about $100.
Okay.
Which isn't too bad, because you hear so much about Iceland and how expensive Iceland is.
Yeah.
But all in all, the food prices weren't too bad.
Our barriers, like our barrier was up so high that it was going to be the most expensive food in the world. And yes, it was expensive.
Yeah, it was. But it really wasn't anything. It wasn't like New York expensive.
It wasn't as bad as we thought.
Yeah. So yeah, we kind of orchestrated our trip so that we got our rental car and we booked it to the southern part of Iceland. And on our way there, we had one or two stops. And our first stop was actually the black sand beach of Reynisfjara. And that's kind of located near the village of Vík. And this is probably going to be one of the checkpoints for your trip if you're driving along the ring road. And what's so cool about the black sand beach of Reynisfjara is that it's named one of the most beautiful non-tropical beaches in the world. And what you get there is you get these like black pebbles almost that make up the beach. Mm-hmm. And there's some basalt columns that you can climb. And in the distance, there are these two rock formations that legend says are these trolls that were turned into rock or something.
There's a lot of weird legends in Iceland.
Yeah, yeah. Some people believe that there's fairies.
Sure.
And they exist. So it's not uncommon for an Icelander to believe in fairies. And, you know, Reynisfjara was really cool. You got to see, the black sand beach. You got to see these rock formations. Vík was really cool in itself, too. And did you guys enjoy Vík?
Yeah, absolutely. The picture opportunities are so good. Like, we all had iPhones. We were taking pictures. I think our thumbs got sore from clicking pictures so much. You come out with just thousands of pictures after your trip.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the cool things in the area too is the Dyrhólaey Arch. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's a really prominent filming location. Game of Thrones had some filming there, but it's a real cool place. If you're going to Iceland in the spring or the summer, it's one of the most popular places to see puffins. That's really cool. Gets to see some puffins at this arch, but if you're going in the winter or near winter, you're not going to see any puffins.
I think one of the things you need to be aware of if you go to Iceland is the idea of visual lethargy, which means you are going to be so overwhelmed beauty that by the end of the trip, things that you would never have thought would bore you will, because you are surrounded by so much beauty.
Right.
Okay. That you get used to it.
You do. Like, you do.
Every place we were at was gorgeous.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But, and I think Black Sand Beach would have been gorgeous regardless, even though we started there.
Right.
But towards the end, I was like, this is cool, but I've been seeing this for 7 days. So that's actually a testimony to how awesome Iceland is.
Yeah. Here, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Everywhere you go is beautiful in its own right.
Yeah. I think one of the things that makes it so beautiful is that it kind of goes on for as far as the eye can see, because there's really no trees. I heard that they cut down the trees and they never grew back. There's a legend that if you find a tree, there's a gorgeous
lady behind it.
Yeah. Because you can't find any trees. But what happens is it makes great for great panoramics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you look to your left and there's the sunset, and then, I don't know, it's like a full panoramic by the time you look to your right shoulder and it's something else. It's like
I do have to say, though, if you go to Black Sand Beach, you have to walk back behind
the basalt columns.
Yes. You don't just stop there where you see when you park your car and you walk out. You have to walk along the beach, because I would venture to say one of our favorite spots was there.
Yeah, sure. I agree. That's a great tip. Yeah, a lot of people, they just kind of stop at the foot of the beach and then they kind of ignore the rest of the beach that's behind the basalt columns. And if you go behind the basalt columns, you'll get a little bit more privacy. You get to enjoy the beach and private and solitude. It's so much nicer. But that leads us to our next tip. And one of the things in the southern part are the glacial lagoons. We've talked about it numerous times. And there are two that are really popular. There's Fjallsarlen, which is the lesser of the two, and also is a great spot to stop for lunch because they have a cafe there called Frost Cafe, which is self-serve. Mm-hmm. Pretty decent prices. I think we had like $20 a plate, sure, which is good for Iceland. But what's so cool about Fjallsarlen is you get this experience that I've never had in my life. You see all these glaciers and you're by the foot of the water. And I mean, it's just so cool. It's amazing.
Yeah. At points we even picked up giant chunks of ice and threw it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Iceland. Here's your ice chunk.
That was also like the, by far the windiest place.
Oh,
that we were
wow.
At.
It's funny, we weren't into drones at that time, but like you can't bring a drone.
You could not fly a drone.
Don't even try. Don't bring a small child, it might blow away into the world.
Didn't we think like at when we were at the, what was the arch called again?
I think it's Dyrhólaey.
We were like, wow, this is windy.
Yes.
And then the next day, wow, this is really windy.
Really
windy.
It
just like got progressively windier.
Yes. You had to like lean into it and really fight for where you're trying to get to.
There's such a thing as wind burn.
Is there? What is that?
Yeah, it's when the wind hits you so bad, like it's like somebody scratched you.
Wow. I'm shocked that no one on our group had that.
No, I got it every day, didn't you know? I was just talking to someone about this wind burn. More like it tears up your skin.
Interesting. I've never heard of that.
It feels similar to sunburn.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So if you see Fjallsarlen, I mean, expect a really cool experience and just seeing some glaciers. But even cooler is the nearby Jökulsárlón. And you can actually take a cruise. I think you could take a cruise in Fjallsarlen. But Jökulsárlón is a little bit more popular. You've had some James Bond movies filmed there. You had Batman Begins filmed there, and it's actually the deepest lake in all of Iceland. So there's just more, there are larger glaciers in Jökulsárlón. You might even see a seal or two. We got to see a seal.
If you're not picking up on it yet, outside is a key word here. You will be outside in Iceland. Don't think city or museums. Yes, there are some in Reykjavik. We'll get to that in a minute, but think hiking, think outdoors. And even if you're not a person who's really into outdoors, you will become one. It's that pretty.
It's gorgeous. It's a photographer's dream spot. If you're into photography, really point your camera anywhere and you will have one of the best photos you've ever taken.
I have quite a few awesome photos and I'm not good at taking pictures.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a testament, right? So
Ben is so bad at taking pictures. How bad is he?
Really bad.
We had a cruise booked for Jökulsárlón,
right?
But it got canceled due to the weather, due to the wind.
Lame.
It was really frustrating. But we still got to experience it, and it was really cool. And right next to Jökulsárlón is the Diamond Beach.
Yeah.
And we almost missed it.
Totally almost missed it.
We thought that the Diamond Beach was like at Jökulsárlón. We were like, this doesn't look like the photos. I mean, it kind of does, but not really. Everyone was kind of like, what is this? This isn't it.
How did you find it? Which way it was? We just followed you.
I think I saw some cars parked across the street, and I was like, why are there cars parked over there?
Sure.
Because it's just the Jökulsárlón goes into the ocean. What Jökulsárlón is basically that big glacier, the biggest glacier in Europe that I talked about, Vatnajökull. It breaks apart and it goes into this lagoon and it makes up Jökulsárlón. In Jökulsárlón, all the glaciers that break up, they go out into the ocean. And those glaciers that go out into the ocean, they break up even more and they come onto the beach yet again and they make up this location called Diamond Beach. It's a black sand beach and all these glaciers look very diamond-esque.
Right.
And it is worth the hype.
Yeah.
But we almost missed it. And my tip for you is that if you are at Jökulsárlón and you're wondering where Diamond Beach is, turn around, look across the street, go towards the ocean, and you will see another parking deck and you'll see more people. And that's Diamond Beach. You gotta go.
Check it out.
You'll be like, beach, please.
Ideally, yeah.
also in the area is Skaftafell National Park. That was the first place that we went to. That was where we went on that hike, and Ben learned real quickly he needs to figure out how to dress for Iceland.
It's true.
What Skaftafell has to offer are so many different types of hiking trails. So if you're into hiking, Skaftafell is the place to go to. But there is one main trail in Skaftafell National Park, and that is the trail to Svartafoss Waterfall. And Svartafoss is so unique in that it inspired the main church in Reykjavik. It's like biggest building in all of the on all of Iceland, the biggest building, a church. It's called Helgrimskirkja or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you get this, 3 mile trek uphill. It took us maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to get to Svartafoss. And it's, again, got some basalt columns, a waterfall. Not many people in the area when we were there, right?
No.
Pretty secluded.
No, the hiking, it really took a lot out of you breath-wise because you're going uphill.
Yeah.
And the wind is there. And going just a short distance was definitely felt further than going on flat ground here in Akron.
But it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Can we say that about every site? Like, it was worth the walk to get to X in Iceland.
I can't think of one place that took a lot of effort that wasn't worth it.
Sure. Yeah, not at all. But, you know, I think at this point, it's like, okay, everything's beautiful in Iceland, but what makes one thing unique over the other? And the thing that makes Svartafoss unique is that it's surrounded by basalt columns and it's a waterfall. And it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah. It's worth the hike. You get to see Iceland up high, really, because you're climbing a mountain.
And that means the view, since you're climbing a mountain, was amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Quick side tip while we're there. You did have to pay for parking, and everything payment-wise is credit card in Iceland. It's so nice.
Yeah, you do not need to really carry around cash if you don't want to.
The moment I got to Reykjavik Airport, I pulled out a bunch of Icelandic cash from an ATM. Oh, we'll need this, right? I didn't. I used it, but
I don't remember a single instance of using.
You could tip on the card. You could buy everything, parking, credit card.
I will say, okay, so if you are going to get cash, there's the Icelandic krona. And then there's the Swedish krona. They're different. Make sure you get Icelandic krona if you're going to carry cash. Total different exchange rate.
They do not take U.S. dollars. And
that's right.
Iceland is not part of the EU.
They are not.
It is part of Europe.
Yeah, they do not have euro.
Yeah, but sorry, I got to just say something. There are other countries in the EU that don't use the euro, like Romania, for example, or...
Okay,
I thought I was going to list a whole bunch.
Romania is a good example.
Thanks. That's my one example. Yeah.
No, that's a good one. Skaftafell National Park. That's kind of our first spot for waterfalls. Our next is going to be Skogafoss. That was that big towering waterfall that you walk up to.
Yeah.
Right? So huge. I think we were driving by and we saw all this like snow floating. Right. And you're like, where is this snow coming from?
Sure.
Because it's not coming from the sky. And it turns out it was coming from Skogafoss. It was snowing all across this like little area, and it was coming straight from this waterfall, not from the sky.
Waterfalls are funny because you can't get too close to them. You get real wet.
Yeah.
Closer you get.
This was a unique experience, though, because it was all frozen, and we didn't get wet.
You can't like hold your hand out and touch the waterfalls in Iceland. You'll die. There was a funny saying, it's the Icelandic pledge for visitors who travel to Iceland. Take pictures to die for, but don't die for your pictures.
Indeed, yeah.
You could see how you could easily fall off a cliff while trying to get a selfie.
Gosh. Yeah.
And it saddens me that probably has happened many times. Otherwise, they wouldn't need that pledge.
Skogafoss, though, is easier to get to, right? Because you park there, and then it's not a long hike. It's
you could right spend there. 15 minutes there and you'll see it and you'll get an idea of it. And it's just amazing. There is a legend that there's treasure behind Skogafoss though. So, hey, any brave tourist looking for a quick buck, you might be able to find some treasure behind Skogafoss.
There's treasure in Bitcoin too. There's just a whole bunch of Bitcoin back there.
Maybe there's a Bitcoin Foss.
Bitcoin Foss. Wait, did we miss that?
There is one other waterfall, and we already talked about it, and that's the Lendjalafoss. But what we didn't talk about is that there's actually a secret waterfall in the area. Ooh. And it's at Lendjalafoss, but it's probably what do we walk? Like a quarter, half a mile?
Who found it? Did Ben find it?
I think you went it was back. I know you two walked off.
I was too scared to go. You kept going.
Yes.
And you were like, hey, Brian, keep going further.
Well, we read in the reviews as we were driving to this waterfall that there was another more hidden one that was beautiful.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we didn't realize that we were there.
No, we were really like confused because you walk past the Lendjalafoss and there's another waterfall, but it's outside. And we're like, is this the secret waterfall?
Yeah, and there's like this, there's this little tiny creek or stream flowing. And you're like, oh, you could walk back there, but it's really cold and icy.
Right.
Yeah.
And we tried it, and it was amazing. It was so beautiful.
So if you go to Lendjalafoss, there's going to be a trail. Walk that trail, and when you get to a creek, you turn right, and there's going to be a cave. You can turn into that cave, and you're going to have to go creeking. But you get into this cave and you are rewarded with a really cool waterfall.
It's good to have a fellow hand to hold because it gets slippery. Who all had waterproof boots? I did.
I did.
I did too. Yeah. I think most of us did.
I'd say that's necessary.
Yes.
I would agree. But I don't think it would be beautiful regardless. But since it was already below freezing for us, I think the fact that there was ice on a lot of it made it really beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It definitely added to its charm.
And there were plenty of rocks like that were sticking out through the water that you could still walk back there and not necessarily like soak your feet. But you're probably going to get wet. However, remember, getting your feet wet is worth it because it was incredibly beautiful.
Well, yeah, I agree.
And Ben, that's something that's going back to like why to have a van or a vehicle. Is it it kind of becomes your locker for the day? Because there were days when I'm like, you know, I think I want to bring this, but I might need an extra pair of socks. And boy, am I happy that I had an extra pair of socks in the van. Would have ruined the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And at Lendjalafoss, there was a cafe, like a little cafe stand, and we could get some hot chocolate, some hot coffee, hot tea, warm up a little bit. Yeah. That was nice.
Sure.
I think it's really smart to tell people, don't expect that you're not going to get soaked.
Right.
Just prepare so that like you can have an extra change of clothing so that if that does happen, it's not going to ruin your day.
That's
because, you know, there is risk involved with seeing really cool beauty. So just be prepared.
That is such a good tip. Preparedness. I feel like that is the best tip we can give. Like you will really enjoy Iceland if bring plenty of water because you're not going to be, I mean, there's areas you can bring snacks, bring extra clothes. Make sure you have plenty of gas in the car. Like if you can be prepared, you're going to love Iceland.
Absolutely. On our way to Reykjavik from our hotel.
Sure.
There was another spot that we stopped by and that was Feather Canyon. Yeah. I'm not going to even try and pronounce the Icelandic version of it.
Okay.
But you remember we had to get off the main road. We got onto our first F road.
Right.
Which could be a good segment to talk about the F road. You want to talk about the F roads?
Just that it was not paved.
Yeah, they're usually not paved.
Kind of like a gravel parking lot, but a road.
At best, yeah. Some of them, there might not even be gravel. It could just be like the beach, and they call it an F-road.
We never had a tire that blew.
No, luckily we did not. But if you are going to travel on a lot of F-roads, they do recommend that you carry a spare tire and expect that you will need to change a tire. And if you do go in during the winter, a lot of these F-roads are going to be closed because the first sign of bad weather, these are the first things that get closed.
Sure.
But if you're not going on any F-roads, then you don't have to worry. The F-road to Feather Canyon was very relaxed. Our van handled it pretty well.
Sure.
And we were only on that F-road for like maybe 10 minutes.
It was a Mercedes, German engineering, you know?
But if you are a fan of Justin Bieber and you've seen the music video, I think it's like Come and See or something like that. I'll link it in the travel guide.
We need to phone a friend to your wife.
Yeah. But the music video was filmed in Feather Canyon.
Sure.
And it popularized Feather Canyon for tourists.
Yeah.
And it became a tourist spot, and it's worth it.
Yeah.
Really worth it. Because you can climb on the, I guess, the top points of this Feather Canyon. And I don't even know how to explain it. There's a river going through it. It's just, it's so gorgeous. It's otherworldly.
It's very green, as I recall.
It was, yeah. It was like, you see a lot of photos of Iceland, and it looks suspiciously green sometimes. I feel like this was the only time that the photos actually do a good depiction of what Iceland looked like in terms of the color.
I would agree. It was very scenic and beautiful, and this is the theme of Iceland. It's unique everywhere you're at.
Absolutely.
So Feather Canyon is not like Black Sand Beach, which is not like Foss. Like, Iceland is just beautiful no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
And so we got to Feather Canyon, and I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah.
It's all so beautiful. It was really windy. But you know what? We were so used to the wind that we're like, we got you, wind.
We're
going to experience this. You're not going to keep us back, wind.
We got a hold of it by
then. Until you get in your car, then you're like, oh, I remember what not wind is like. That's kind of nice. But you get used to it.
I do remember, do you guys remember that we all needed to get to the bathroom? And we park our car at Feather Canyon, and there's one bathroom stall, and it was closed.
Because there's no trees in Iceland, dudes can't just be outside.
Yeah. So we have to.
Everyone will see you. You had to backtrack.
This must be a travel tip for Iceland. You have to plan about your bathroom breaks. So unless you work with the elderly like I do and you wear Depends, you're going to actually have to go someplace.
You wear Depends?
I'm wearing them right now. No shame.
No, you're not.
I'm not. But you do think more about bathrooms. But yeah, thankfully, absolutely. In Iceland, unlike here in the States, if you're not used to this, you can actually pay to potty.
Yeah.
Yes. Typical alliteration. European thing. Mm-hmm. I'm actually wanting America to do this more.
This is actually a reason you could need cash.
At this point, if you've seen Reynis Fjara and you've seen Skaftafell, you've seen Sollendjalfoss, you've seen Skógafoss, you've been to Feather Canyon, you've really seen the most key parts of the southern part of Iceland. But the one thing that we recommend that not a lot of itineraries have is a visit to the Westman Islands. And this is actually off the mainland part of Iceland. You have to take a ferry to get to the Westman Islands. But one of the cool things about the Westman Islands is it's home to this volcano. I think the volcano is called Eldfell. And in the 70s, this volcano erupted and it destroyed a large portion of the town in Westman Islands. But why is Westman Islands so cool? What did it have to offer? What did you guys like about it?
The Puffin Sanctuary.
Ooh, and the beluga whales. Then you really liked the beluga whales.
Yeah. They were amazing.
They liked you.
I have several selfies with them.
Yeah, you do. They loved you.
Thanks. Somebody loves me.
There's a beluga whale in Iceland that knows my name. Yeah, the Westman Islands was really cool. We actually went to a museum that showed the damage of the volcano. I actually found it quite interesting.
Did you?
Okay. I did, but I think we probably stayed there for longer than we needed.
We did. I think, you know, if you book a return ticket, which you're going to need to, on the ferry, you might not need as much time as we thought we needed.
Westman Islands, you mean?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We planned for like an all day thing. And we found ourselves kind of needing to figure out a way to kill time.
Okay.
After what?
That's a good point.
Better than killing each other.
So we did things like the Puffin Sanctuary and a museum. And
yeah, we climbed the volcano.
We also climbed the volcano. That was
really cool.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I also liked when we went to the windiest point of Iceland, which I think is it the second windiest place in the world?
They say it's the windiest place in all of Europe.
It was amazing. Now, if you have an aversion to heights, you won't like it.
I struggled.
Yeah. But
those of us in the Westman Islands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The top of the volcano?
No.
Remember we...
after that.
Yeah. We took our van up this hill.
Yeah.
And we had like a photo op where we were like hanging off something.
Yeah. And then we were in like these like grasslands areas. And then we walked up.
I thought you were going to fall off that then.
I know. I was not worried at all.
I had to stop looking at you. I was like, I'm not even going to look anymore.
But it was amazing because we walked to the edge of these cliffs and we looked out over the water. And you could, if you were careful, you could look just right and you could see these sheep that were grazing on these really steep cliffs. Yeah. And you're just, part of you is like, I want to watch you fall into the water.
Yeah. It was unreal.
It was incredibly beautiful. Yeah. Like, as is true of most of Iceland, I'm like, am I really here?
Yeah.
Am I really seeing this?
Yeah, everyone said Iceland was so beautiful. I'm kind of like, I've seen a lot of beauty. I'll be the judge of that. And then, man, it did not disappoint.
No, it didn't.
And I haven't seen a lot of beauty. And it also did not disappoint.
Hey, you've seen Cleveland.
Awful.
there's Cleveland and then there's Iceland. And Iceland still has some work to do.
Well, and when I watch like different movie series from like England,
yeah,
I think, oh my gosh, I've been there. Because Iceland, that part of Iceland on those Westman Islands was very much like a lot of the TV shows that I've seen in England. Like, I'm like, oh, I have experienced Europe. Because for all of you listening, I've never been to Europe besides Iceland. And it was awesome.
Oh, wow.
I know. Sorry.
It was a really authentic experience. We, like everyone that's on the island, they're true Icelanders. There's no Europeans coming in like there were at Foss Hotel. It was all Icelanders. And one of the things I thought was so interesting was that if there is a medical emergency, they need to be life-flighted or they need to catch the ferry and then drive to Reykjavik, which is 2 hours away once you land by ferry. So they are really secluded. They're really out there. And their way of life is unique to most people. And it's even unique to like the everyday Icelander. So I recommend checking out Westman. It's cool. It's really cool. You get to get on this really cool ferry. And
just maybe you don't have like a really complicated medical history.
Yeah.
You don't get hurt.
Don't get hurt.
But the puffins.
Puffins
are worth it. They were fantastic.
Yes. If you go in the winter and you're afraid you're not going to see any puffins, check out the Puffin Sanctuary. Yeah. It's so cool. Really cool place. That kind of leads us to Reykjavik and what's around Reykjavik. And one of the most popular or the most popular thing about Iceland is the Golden Circle. Mm-hmm. It's this term that was coined by the Icelandic Tourism Board to get people to come to Iceland when they have these layover trips, when they go over to Europe or Europeans to North America. And it's for this reason I have to say that Iceland deserves more of your time than just being a layover trip.
Sure.
There's more to Iceland than just the Golden Circle, as amazing as the Golden Circle is.
Preach.
See, Iceland Airlines. What's it called? Iceland Air? Iceland Airlines.
Yeah, there's Iceland Air and the now defunct WOW Airlines.
Thank you. So Iceland Air was one thing they did that I thought was really smart was to fly over to mainland Europe through Iceland doing a layover. They would not charge an additional fee if you were to give yourself a 2 or 3 day layover. So they encouraged it. It was a chance to get some tourism, whereas most cities say, hey, you can fly through our country. However, if you want a few days there, we're going to charge you for a multi-city ticket, which is going to be a higher cost. So something very smart that Iceland did, just like you said, Will, to promote tourism. Hey, come stay for 2 or 3 days, and we'll show you a bit of Iceland and some of the really cool beauty with the Golden Circle tour. So I would like to hear your thoughts more about the Golden Circle.
Yeah, typically it's recommended that most people go and they join a tour or get a travel guide and they go and they see the Golden Circle. And the Golden Circle has really three main parts. There's Tingvellir National Park. This is a national park where the European and North American tectonic plates meet. And there's just this, again, as Iceland normally is, just this otherworldly landscape. And next to Tingvellir, and by next to, I think there's like an hour of a drive, you see Geyser, which is where we get the name from. It's just a hot spring. And last but not least, there's the big waterfall Gullfoss. So that's usually when people say the Golden Circle, they're talking about those three locations. But we did more than that, didn't we?
Right.
Yeah. Did you guys have a favorite part to the Golden Circle?
The Brewerfoss, absolutely.
Brewerfoss. Yeah. I agree. And what Brewerfoss was this, I don't want to say secret waterfall, but it's not very well known because there's not a main path. It's not paved or anything like that. You are going almost out in the boonies as much as you can in Iceland.
You had to hike back there, yeah.
Yeah, it was a 3-hour hike there and back.
I think that is what dissuades people, or potentially the hike back there. It's nice, but it's not quite as epic as other parts of Iceland.
Sure, you know, it's flat ground.
Yeah. But it is so worth it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What made Brewerfoss so cool to you guys?
It was like an intimate waterfall. I was mentioning earlier how waterfalls, you can't get close to them. This is one that you're walking alongside it. And there's different, it's kind of like it's not one big epic waterfall. It's like a whole bunch of small ones. And each one is really cool pictures. And you, like, Will, I remember one of them, I got pictures of you sitting next to it with your legs dangling off it with the water next to you.
Yeah.
You can't do that at, what was the really huge one?
Like Skogafoss.
You could never do that. Exactly there. Yeah. This was unique. It was interactive in a sense.
You're right. Like, as you're walking back to the main waterfall, there are at least two other waterfalls that you're at that are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But then when you're back at the, what's the name of it?
Brewerfoss.
It was so beautiful, like the color of it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a huge tall waterfall, but it's incredibly beautiful.
It's very, very blue.
Very blue. And I'm colorblind, and I could still tell it was blue. That's how blue it is.
Wow. You're color challenged.
And it was just gorgeous, like awe inspiring. And that's one of my favorite pictures of a waterfall.
So the Golden Circle's definitely, it was meant to do in a day. It's your day tour to get a nice fill of Iceland and the beauty. The problem in my mind is that it's just very touristy. And that's okay. You need tourism to run a country. But that's when we started to see the buses. That's when we started to see, we'd go get food and there was like, there's 40 people in line ahead of us.
Yeah, that was probably the first time I feel like that we really ran into tourists from all over the world, really.
Absolutely.
That's okay. The Golden Circle, I think you really need to travel by car. And the first thing that you're going to see in the Golden Circle is Tingvellir. And I do want to take some time to talk about each location on the Golden Circle that we went to and why you should go. Tingvellir was really cool because it's just, it's almost like you're, it's like traveling to Yosemite here in the States. Yeah. It's so encompassing. It's so large. You might be driving through it, but you're still in Yellowstone. It's the same thing with Tingvellir. It's so big. You can spend a day, 2 days, 3 days seeing Tingvellir in its own. And it's just a gorgeous little area.
Right.
And then from there, I think that's when we stopped and we got lunch at a local farm and table restaurant.
Sure.
I'm going to do my best to pronounce it, but I think it's called Efstadilar. That's a probable huge butchering, but
they're Icelandic ponies or horses.
Yes, we got to see some Icelandic horses.
We just pet them. We walked right up to them.
Yeah, we have so many pictures of us just petting them.
Did we get permission?
I don't think you need to. I don't think you need to.
Sure, just go.
Yeah, and this farm has some locally sourced ice cream, farm-raised cows, cattle.
Yeah.
It's a good place to get some lunch.
And you're going to notice about that $20 a person meal.
Yeah, that's a pretty good price.
Just to keep that in mind when it comes to planning for your meals.
But if you're interested in going to Brewerfoss and starting the hike to Brewerfoss, it's important to note that Efstadilar, this farm and table restaurant, is very close to it. It's probably going to be, if you're getting lunch, Brewerfoss is probably going to be your next stop. It's probably, I think, maybe a half mile away, if that.
And there's something to know. I was impressed that even when we were in the middle of nowhere and there were like two restaurant options, the food was fantastic.
Yeah. It was so good.
Now, to be fair, there were six of us and we all generally ordered different things. And sometimes some of us were happy and some weren't. But I truly was impressed at the quality of the food.
I think for the most part, everyone was really happy with the food that we had in Iceland. I only had one bad meal.
I don't think I had any.
Yeah, and I think that's saying something.
But the couple meals that we did put together, mainly breakfast for ourselves, when we went to different grocery stores, we found wonderful food options and made great meals together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We may want to tell people about the liquor stores, though.
What do you have to say about the liquor? So we can have a little segue. What do you want to talk about the liquor stores?
Weren't the liquor stores, like if you wanted to buy alcohol that was more than like, what, 2.25%? Like if you bought beer in a store,
It
was very, very local, low alcohol content.
Sure.
You'd have to actually go to like a state-owned liquor store if you wanted more.
Yes. And go ahead.
I think they were only open till like 6 p.m. So if you do want to get alcohol and drink it with your friends outside of like a bar or restaurant, you just have to be cognizant of the fact.
Was this the day, Ben, you and I went to a grocery store and the beer they had was just 2.5% or less?
Yeah, it was low. It was definitely like 3 or 2%, but you'd have to go to the liquor store if you wanted to get more.
Wow, I don't remember this.
That's a fun, and just a travel tip, go to a local grocery store, go to a drugstore. Interact with locals. Just see what it's like to go through an everyday routine that you're used to here in America in a foreign country. Those are the memories you actually take back with you.
And you have to bring your own bag, like your own grocery bag. They didn't have them there.
That's right.
Very nice. They did have scooters.
Oh, yeah. They did.
I was a big fan of the scooters. You just download the app and you just go.
And we'll talk about scooters. I think we need to circle back, talk about Golden Circle, finish the Golden Circle.
Perfect.
We went to Brewer Fossa, but the next step to the Golden Circle was Geyser.
Geyser was all right.
It was okay. I think what was so cool about it was that, you could stop for 10 minutes and you could see it.
It's like, it is exciting when it comes, you know, Whoa, there it is. The Geyser. Cool. All right.
And then you leave.
Sure. Exactly. Then you can take off.
Yeah, there is a museum there that I think has more information on it.
Okay. But
we were really stretched for time because we actually had a booking to the Blue Lagoon.
And just to say, you think geysers sound awesome, and they are awesome. But when we were actually there, the geysers, they were okay. The waterfalls, I would say, were much more impressive than the geysers.
More impressive. Okay.
Just to say, like, because a geyser sounds amazing, but when you're actually there, not quite as amazing as you might make it out to be in your mind.
Completely agree. That leads to, I guess, really the last stop, the last main stop on Golden Circle, and that's Gullfoss. And Gullfoss is really cool because it's this large waterfall. It's a large, magnificent waterfall, kind of almost like two waterfalls wrapped into one, almost.
It's a lot on the eyes. It's really, you can kind of stand there and stare at it for quite a while and not get bored.
Yeah. Unfortunately for us, because we went during the colder months, the trail to the closest point for Gullfoss was frozen, and we were not about to do what we just did for Sallengjalfoss and climb through that thing. So we kind of saw it from a further point than what's on offer.
Yeah.
And it was still amazing.
I think this ties into the whole like visual lethargy. If we had started there, would have been like, oh my gosh, guys, this is the best part of Iceland.
Yeah.
So basically the first couple things you see in Iceland will be your favorite.
Sure.
Because it's all so beautiful.
Right.
That's true.
So maybe look at some of these different sites ahead of time so that the ones you're like, are really awesome, you can see those first. Because there's actually so much beauty.
That's such a good point with the Golden Circle. Will, do you know, is there only one? Is there a starting direction or could you go the reverse route? I don't see why you couldn't.
You could, but I don't think you're going to really see anything for a long time. I think if you start with Tingvellir, you're going to see Tingvellir pretty quickly. Yeah. If you start on the opposite side, the first site that you will have is Carid Crater, which is, from what I've heard, okay. But, I mean, it's not like Tingvellir. It's not Gullfoss. I think from Reykjavik to Gullfoss, it's 2 hours. From Reykjavik to Tingvellir, it's like 30 minutes. So you either drive two hours and wait until you see your first landmark, or drive 30.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what I liked about our trip is that we ended at Gullfoss, and then we had this decision to make. Do we drive the 2 hours to Reykjavik, or do we drive 2 hours and 20 minutes and go to the Blue Lagoon? And we went for the Blue Lagoon.
Hey, man.
And we kind of just wrapped this day into quintessential Iceland day.
Blue Lagoon. Blue Lagoon. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We were big fans, and the Blue Lagoon is kind of Iceland's big tourist trap, right?
Absolutely.
It's worth it. It's so worth it.
Do it. Go for it.
Amazing.
I think for, well, let's back up. What the Blue Lagoon is, right? It's a man-made lagoon powered by geothermal springs.
Yeah.
And it is like this, it's just this otherworldly body of water. It's so cool.
We need to find a new word. Maybe we can coin this on this show.
Yeah.
There's tourist trap, but then there needs to be a place that's going to attract tourists, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
We can't call it tourist traps. Maybe like a tourist spot, tourist destination, tourist draw. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Blue Lagoon attracts a lot of people because it's really cool and you should go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's a lot of people there. I'm not going to call it a trap though.
Yeah. I've talked to a few people that have gone to Iceland and who have gone to Blue Lagoon, and they hated it.
You're not going to find any locals there. You're going to find all tourists. That's true.
Yeah.
I would venture to say anybody that's not a local that hates it is probably not somebody you want to be a friend with.
All right.
I think the main criticism with the Blue Lagoon is that there are a lot of people going, and depending on when you go, you might get the short end of the stick, and you might not be able to enjoy it the way that we enjoyed it. We were lucky because we went at night and we went during the off season, so there really weren't that many people there.
It's pretty cool though. There's a swim up bar as well as a little cove or cave, as well as a little hot sauna area. And there's multiple parts of, imagine like the biggest swimming pool with multiple areas that you've ever seen, but converted into a hot spring.
Yeah.
So you could really move around, and if it was too crowded in one area, you could move to another, but you get a wristband to go in the water, and that wristband will give you access to a mud facial.
Yeah. So every ticket gets a free complimentary mud facial and a complimentary drink of their choice, beer, wine, soda, whatever. But this bracelet allows you to buy more of those.
Sure. It just gets charged to your account. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you pay it off at the end.
Absolutely. It's really easy.
Super simple. Well worth the time spent there. It's between Keflavik and Reykjavik. So many people either go to the Blue Lagoon as soon as they jump off the airport or on their way to the airport as a way to get some R&R at the beginning or the end of their trip. But honestly, I recommend doing it at the end of the Golden Circle.
From the pictures that I saw about the Blue Lagoon, when you see it like in daylight, it looked incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We were there after the sun had set. It was also awesome in its own right. And when we were leaving, we could see the northern lights.
Yes.
So even if it were crowded, to be honest, I think I still would have loved it because it was a really cool space to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one thing I've heard for a lot of clients is the moment you touch down in Iceland, just hit the Blue Lagoon. And the reason is because, Will, you and I were talking this past week about how about 95% of flights from America to Europe are going to take place overnight, meaning you arrive in the morning in Europe. And what happens is, and particularly for Iceland, since it's closer than mainland Europe, a lot of the flights that are going to leave JFK or Boston or Chicago or other hubs in the U.S. that fly to Reykjavik are going to land touchdown in Reykjavik between 5 and 6 a.m. And if you've ever booked a hotel or Airbnb, you know that usually check-in is between 2 and 3 p.m. depending. So what do you do for this 8 hours of just lag time? So it is a nice way to kill time after you've just gotten off an overnight flight. And they have lockers, and there's, if you have a rental car, you could leave obviously your suitcase in the car. Just have a suitcase ready, or a bathing suit ready, so you can kill some hours in there before check-in.
Absolutely. Yeah, I recommend it. And we did mention the Northern Lights, and we should talk about the Northern Lights. I think we spent 6 nights in Iceland, and I think we saw the Northern Lights for 3 of them, didn't we?
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to Iceland with the expectation of seeing the Northern Lights, you need to go during essentially October all the way to
April.
Yeah, like April.
October through April is what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's because
not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. No, it's not guaranteed at all. That's because the Northern Lights are going to show up when there's the most amount of darkness, and the most amount of darkness occurs during the winter months, because Iceland at its darkest point gets like 3 to 4 hours of sunlight. But in the summertime, if you go, you're getting like 18 to 20 hours of sunlight. So you don't really have that much of an opportunity to see the Northern Lights. So if you want to see the Northern Lights, go during October. It's really, really nice.
But don't make it be the only reason you go, because there's a chance you won't see them. It's not going to ruin your trip. There's enough good to see.
There is.
The Northern Lights are pretty cool. As somebody who is colorblind, and when looking at them, it's like, these are cool, but they kind of look like clouds.
Yes.
Like, and it was still beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but there's so much beauty in Iceland. If you don't see the Northern Lights, it's not going to ruin your trip.
No.
I agree. I think the thing that surprised me the most was how they don't look like the pictures almost all of the time. Like you said, they really do look like clouds almost.
And when you are looking at them with the naked eye, it is not the same as when you take a picture with your fancy camera and look at
it. No, not at all.
So don't be disappointed by that either. But it is a lot of fun to like go on the lookout for the Northern Lights. Like, there's that excitement of like a treasure hunt.
Yeah, you can still tell.
Sure.
You can still tell. That does leave us to Reykjavik, though. We have Reykjavik to talk about, which is the capital of Iceland. It's the largest city in the country. And there is a lot to see and do in this little town, or a little city. I love this city. I was really surprised by this city.
I don't like cities, and I liked it.
Okay.
Because it didn't feel big city-ish, even though it was a larger city. It was quaint. Like, you could walk to it. We walked from our Airbnb to the different restaurants and places, and it was great. Yeah. You could walk to lots of cool things.
Very walkable. And Ben, one of my favorite things was you and I walked to a cemetery. Tell them about that.
The cemetery there, it was the oldest cemetery in Iceland.
Hmm.
It was so beautiful. I know that sounds weird to say about a cemetery, but it was hauntingly beautiful.
It was peaceful.
Very peaceful. And it was, I don't know if you have pictures attached on your travel guide or whatnot, it was different than most American cemeteries that I've been to.
Hmm.
Yeah, there
different
were
design.
Yeah, like there were mature trees growing up. And
I all the names on all the graves were different than anything we've ever seen in our lives before. We're like, what are these names? These are wild.
You feel a little guilty that you feel so excited to be in a cemetery.
Sure.
And there were cats, and it was just really cool. So even the cemetery was very beautiful, and we could walk to it.
Sure.
And like, there were 6 of us on this trip, and we all kind of did our own thing on this.
This was
the end of our trip. So by myself, I just walked, and I'm not very savvy when it comes to like walking around in a foreign place. I just walked down this street, and I got to the ocean, and I watched the sunset on a Saturday evening.
Oh,
and it was so beautiful. I was out by like a lighthouse or something by myself watching the sunset. And I was just really touched by how amazing it was. And I was very safe. And then I knew how to walk back. And, you know, so all of you that aren't good at traveling well, I did that. I walked to this beautiful sunset by myself. And then I walked back to where our Airbnb was. And it was such an amazing close to the trip.
Wow. Yeah. Reykjavik is cool. It's it directly translates to Smoky Bay. So it's on the water. and it's really cool. It's in the background, there's a mountain called Mount Estage, I think. I, again, probably butchered that. But there is one main street that goes through Reykjavik, and it's called Lagervegur. I think that's how you pronounce it. Lagervegur Street. It's in downtown Reykjavik, and it's kind of like the place to go shopping. A lot of really cool shops in that area.
Yeah, like I'm not even one for shops, and I found myself wanting to go in shops.
Yeah, we saw so many things.
You went in a really cool bakery. I love the coffee shop. I really like the candy shop. There was like a, you could get Icelandic candy and stuff. That made for great gifts, especially for that last day.
Yes.
And they're not going to melt because it's so cold.
And Icelanders love black licorice. That is one of their favorite desserts.
You're not going to win me over.
No, it was, sorry, Iceland, I love you, but I hate black licorice.
I like black licorice.
Oh man, did you enjoy? Did you have one of those black licorice lattes?
I didn't. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
It was actually pretty good. It was surprising. I liked it.
You know, we talk about the food real quick, and while we're on that subject, I just think we should talk about. We didn't try the fermented shark.
No, we did not,
and I'm okay with that. But we did try Icelandic street food. We'll talk about that.
Oh man, I love this little place. This place was really cool because at this point we just wanted a good meal and we didn't want to spend a lot of money on it. This was the cheapest meal that we had, and it offered unlimited soup. It was a soup.
Right.
It was $17 per person, and you could get all that you could eat, and it was delicious.
You just keep going back.
Yeah, so you could get a bread bowl, and then they just keep giving you like little bowls. Soup of whatever you wanted.
They had a seafood option, and they have a lamb.
Yeah, soup. They had lamb, some like two different fish soups.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Great service, super kind, really fun environment, really cool, very aesthetic.
Yes, it was probably my favorite restaurant, quickly followed by, I love cinnamon rolls, and this has to be. The best cinnamon roll I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And that was from Brout & Co. And if you are going to the church in downtown Reykjavik, Helgrimskirkja, sorry, Icelanders, I'm butchering it. But if you're going to see the church, right next to it, probably like 200 feet away, is Brout & Co. Get a cinnamon roll here. I'm not kidding you. It's amazing. It's so good.
Love it.
I think we made like 3 or 4 stops to this little bakery over the course of like 3 days.
Yeah.
So good. And right next to it is probably our favorite coffee shop that we had in Iceland.
Mm-hmm. One thing about Iceland is you're just not going to find a lot of really upscale hotels. They have a lot of hotels in Reykjavik. However, primarily they're going to be that 3-star level. Now don't be confused thinking that 3-star is bad. It's just that to technically be a 5-star hotel, you have to have a wild amount of amenities, like a pool, a gym, a certain amount of fruit laid out each morning at breakfast. And so what happens is you have these very nice, clean, safe, pretty economical 3-star properties in Iceland that are fine. They just don't have a lot of amenities and glamour and things like that. Really, the big hotel that is like 4-star quality is the Hilton in Reykjavik. Other than that, I have no problem recommending an Airbnb. We stayed in the Airbnb. What did you think of it?
It was amazing. Yeah, it was so cool. I probably wouldn't want to stay in a hotel in Reykjavik. But that does bring up a good point about Airbnbs across the country. Because it is very hard to find a good Airbnb outside of Reykjavik. Most of them are kind of like sprinkled throughout the country and they're not necessarily in like the best location. So if you can, in that regard, probably get a hotel, kind of like how we stayed at Foss Hotel and like the Hof area. I recommend doing that because I think the closest Airbnb was like an hour and a half away. That's from where Foss Hotel was.
When I feel sometimes when you're out in the middle of nowhere, a hotel can be nice because they can answer questions.
Yeah,
they have things you might need, as well as even like a restaurant. Whereas when you're in Reykjavik, you don't need that because you can walk to everything. There's a drugstore nearby. There's restaurants. There's fast food. There's everything in walking distance.
Grocery stores. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Liquor stores to get more than 2.5%. Ready for standby items, or do you have more you want to talk about?
I think, okay, there's one thing I'm going to quickly talk about. There is a geothermal valley that you can see on the south part of Iceland. It's called Reykjalartek. I don't know. I'm going to have it in the travel guide. I'm butchering it. But what's so cool about this is you can take about 2 to 3 hours there and back, hike up to these geothermal rivers, and you can just drop down into these hot rivers. They're like supposedly like 100, 110 degrees. We were going to do this, but we ran out of time on our way to Reykjavik, and we would have gotten caught out in like the nighttime at like 5 degrees, and then you get wet, and then you have to walk all the way back to your car, something like an hour and a half.
And I probably whined about being too cold.
I don't think you were the only one.
I probably was. I'll take the blame.
But I do recommend checking it out. See if you could do it. It seems really cool. Do it for me, if nothing else, because I really, really wanted to go to this. I think now we can talk about standby items.
It's safety and other info with standby items. Here we go.
Brian, we had a issue with our car rental. Do you want to talk about that?
So I was so excited. I booked this epic giant Mercedes Sprinter, which is like a 13 or 17 seater van. And it's super, super tall. Maybe you've seen them on the roads. And I booked it and I felt like a champ. Like, we are going to just, heck, we could probably sleep in this thing. Each person in our group could have their own row, right? So we land in Reykjavik Airport. We were coming out of JFK on Delta. I think it landed right at 6 a.m. And yeah, we're tired, but we're excited, and there's a lot of emotion, and we have our bags, and we go to pick up our rental car, and they say, "Where's your special driver's license?" I'm like, "Special driver's license?" Like, yeah, we cannot give you this car unless you have a commercial driver's license.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We must have stayed at that rental car counter for a good hour. Not really arguing, but just seeing, is there anything else we can get? Like, we didn't know. And they had compassion on us, but it was just a poor miscommunication booking through a third party, and the communication wasn't there that we needed that kind of license.
It was not the first time that they had experienced this.
Correct, yeah. So what ended up happening was we ran next door. We were able to get our refund on that car, and we ran to the rental car counter right there, and they luckily had a van for us, and it turned out to be a great blessing for two reasons. Number one, the trip was so windy, and I think we communicated that, and I have to make a quick story here. I will never get the image seared out of my mind when it was my time to drive, and a car was driving at us, and I saw it starting to tip because of the wind. And yeah, I screamed at the wheel, and then it luckily came back and didn't tip over.
We screamed with you, Brian.
Oh, thank you. So having a shorter car like we had, a shorter van, I should say, with wind assist was very nice. The second thing was in Reykjavik, we were in a parking garage, and if we had that super tall car, we would have hit it.
For sure, for sure. We definitely would not have been able to park in there.
Cost of gas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So as of 2021, the cost of gas in Iceland is anywhere from $6 to $7 USD, to fill up per gallon. They fill up per liter. So keep that in mind when you go, but it's generally speaking about $6 to $7 per gallon. I think we should talk about, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but, if you have the expectation that you're going to land in Reykjavik, don't, because there's no international airport. The only international airport in Iceland is Keflavik. So you can fly to Reykjavik from Keflavik, but it's going to be like a little, I don't know, like Cessna or something. Same thing goes for the most northern city of...
Akureyri.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So yeah, if you're planning your itinerary by starting in Reykjavik, keep in mind that you're actually going to land.
Yeah, don't be surprised when you're landing in Keflavik. The code for this airport is KEF, Kilo Echo Foxtrot. This is the main airport of Iceland.
Perfect. Do we have any safety tips for this trip? I don't
take pictures to die for. Don't die for your pictures. I don't think you need to carry any sort of like animal wise. We saw the reindeer. We heard they're vicious, but they weren't close to us.
No, they weren't.
It's really
no.
just the ice and not slipping. So having boots is really key. Don't just bring tennis shoes.
One thing, it's pretty common for people to want to go on these ice cave tours in the southern part of Iceland. And that's all well and good, but you need to do it with a tour guide. And you need to do it in the winter months when the ice is really solid. If you do this by yourself, you are genuinely risking death. It's extremely dangerous. And these travel guides that you book these trips with, they know what they're doing. They're going to keep you safe. So if you have in your mind that you're going to do these ice caves, truly do not do this by yourself. Do it with a travel guide.
You need GPS, so therefore you need international data. Now, I would say this was a pretty cool tip and / standby item. With our car, we rented a GPS, I think it was a Garmin something.
I think so.
And so basically that was nice because we could all have our cell phones and not have to, and just keep the GPS, which wasn't connected to data. It was connected to satellites. But you are going to need international data. So get the international cell phone plan, or you could do like us. And I got Skyroam. Skyroam is a device that shoots off a Wi-Fi signal. It's $9 per day and up to 10 people can connect to it. It's a fantastic idea. And I'm thrilled with the idea of it, particularly when traveling in groups. The problem is when 6 people are connected, the connectivity level and the speed is insanely low. Loading web pages can take up to 30 seconds to a minute. Video, forget about it. So Skyroam, I love the idea. We're going to have to enhance the bandwidth before we really push your product.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by Skyroam, so keep that in mind. But we do like it. We did like it.
I mean, it served a purpose.
It did the trick.
It was better than nothing.
I think that's all we have for standby items. Yeah. Does anyone have anything else that they wanted to talk about that they recommend for our listeners?
Well, I just want to say, going off your point, Iceland is a destination in and of itself. It's not just a layover to get to Europe. Go to Iceland and make Iceland be your destination.
Yeah. And I think if you're willing to rent a car and travel around the ring road, I highly recommend it. And
anyone can do it. It's not hard.
Yeah, absolutely. My only regret is that we did it, that we only had 6 days.
As someone who has not been to Europe, I would completely agree. Iceland was fantastic. So since I don't have the bias of being to Europe and whatever Europe entails, which I'm sure is awesome, Iceland, though, do not think that it's like the insignificant little brother or whatever. Like, Iceland is beautiful. Spend time there. It's great. Absolutely. And I want to go back because we saw what? The southern part of Iceland?
We saw probably 30% of what the country had to offer.
And it was fantastic. So Iceland is beautiful in its own right.
Yeah. I've only been to 8 countries in my life. Iceland is one of them. And I have a long list of countries that I want to see. Iceland still remains at the top of that list because there are so many things to see. If you are interested in going to Iceland, I genuinely recommend spending 9 to 12 days there. Get a car, travel the entire country, see the West Fjords, see the East Fjords, see the northern parts of the country, and see the southern parts like we just talked about. Highly recommend this country. Do not miss out on it. It's so great. I think that's the end of our show.
We're the travel agents. That's the end of our show. Make sure to comment and subscribe before you go.